Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Sun Power Sports, Colorado's largest ATV and motorcycle dealer. We're going right to the phones. Joining us is a gentleman who's he's probably taught me more about how weather affects our pheasant population than I could have ever imagined over the years. Ed Gorman, how long have we been talking about this?
Quite a number of years, Terry.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but a large number of years.
And I know, and we're both only like 25, so it's hard to believe.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you've told me that weather's the pheasant population, as far as the huntable population in Colorado, is so weather dependent. And even though then there's so many variables, but I think this year being so crazy, I know you and I were both cautiously optimistic, but I don't know how anybody could have predicted until now what it was going to be like.
Yeah, there's so many variables to keep an eye on throughout the spring and summer period that it's just, as the earlier you make a forecast, the bigger guess it is.
As
we get closer to the season, some of those variables start to go away and you kind of cross them off the list, and then you get a really good sense of what's out there on the landscape as you get into October and particularly get some cold nights. You get a real good idea of what's in the fields. So,
well, and I know, like I said, you were cautiously optimistic that we're going to have at least a fair year of pheasant hunting. But you and I talked during the week, and I think you've kind of upgraded that forecast.
Right. I think I'm solidly in the good or maybe a little better than good category at this point. My guys and our conservation officers have been out quite a bit the last few weeks with various duties and have given some real positive reports in terms of what they're seeing in the field, which is good. I think, you know, there's certainly in any year the forecast is a little spotty and it's site dependent, meaning that, you know, one location can be really good and another location just a few miles away can be less good. That's just kind of the nature of the beast when it comes to upland bird populations. But across the board, I'd say it's looking pretty good this year for sure.
Well, I want to get into some of the particulars, but before I do, I posted that you were going to be on with me this morning, and a lot of people questioned, you know, Colorado doesn't have the reputation for pheasant hunting that the Dakotas or Nebraska has. Yet over the last decade, we've had some ups and downs, but we've had some pretty spectacular hunting at times too. How would you rate our pheasant hunting over the last decade, you know, compared to some of the surrounding or some of the famous states?
Well, it's difficult to compare with places like North Dakota and South Dakota because they have an exponential factor increase in how much habitat they have for birds. We just don't have that here. Most of our fields are really large and don't really lend to huge populations of pheasants. So it's kind of apples to oranges to those couple of states. But, you know, to western Nebraska or western Kansas, we're not dissimilar from them. We're a little more prone to dry out, and that really has a huge impact on pheasants. Drought is the number one factor affecting pheasant populations in Colorado. And it's kind of the same in western Nebraska. But being, you know, lying east of us, they're going to get more precipitation on an average year, even in a drought year, than Colorado does, so that the effects are multiplied in terms of when they get precipitation, it helps their pheasants a little bit more.
Well, I don't think a lot of, especially hunters who are just getting into it, realize how dependent every year's success is on that year's hatch. I mean, a huge percentage of the birds that are harvested every year are hatched that year. That's why it's so volatile, right?
That's correct. I mean, you know, you should expect in a good pheasant year, you should have tons of production that previous spring, and you should be harvesting 80% young of the year pheasants. When you kind of tilt the other way and you're harvesting lots of adult roosters, it tells you that you had pretty poor production the previous spring, and the population is probably not doing very well.
Now, we've had some banner years. I think back, was it 2011, where the population just exploded? And then we've had some ups and downs since then, but I think we're looking at, if you know, hunting is still hunting. You got to put in your time, But I actually think that if people put in their time this year, there's going to be a reasonable chance of good success, don't you?
I think so. From what we're seeing anyway, that would be the case. Certainly there's always, you know, finding new spots and finding areas that may be getting a little bit less hunting pressure. But, you know, we've had good reports from lots and lots of areas the last couple of weeks. So
well,
you know, it seems to be fairly widespread. I mean, there are always areas where a hailstorm came in or a rainstorm didn't quite fall right or wrong timing on precipitation, and those are down. And you'll find those, and the habitat won't look any different. But, you know, all in all across the region, I think it's definitely an increase from last year, and in some areas maybe a significant increase.
Well, before we get into some of the maybe better regions, I want to talk about a couple points. One of those is as you travel around the country, you may say, well, there's great hunting here, there's great hunting there. But you'll also find that guides have bought up a lot of the access, and farmers are getting paid by them. They're not allowing people. It can be very expensive or not non-existent to get access to some of these birds. In Colorado, because of our walk-in access program, and then because the farmers are working with us on that, we really probably provide some of the best access in the country.
Yeah, we certainly provide a lot of really convenient access to the hunter. Just a couple of statistics for the listeners this morning. I just looked at the numbers this morning. We have 173,000 acres enrolled in the walk-in access program, which the only thing we look for is private land that has some likelihood of upland bird hunting success. That 173,000 acres, which an acre is kind of a nebulous term, so let's kind of break it down into something that folks might understand a little better. 173,000 acres equals 270 square miles, or even more simpler, 1,100 pieces of land open to public hunting in what's largely a private land atmosphere in eastern Colorado. I believe the statistic is that eastern Colorado is 98% private land. So in a heavily private area, there's a lot of opportunity for folks to go walk around and hunt birds or hunt small game.
Oh, there really is. And while we're on that topic, too, the harvest, it's kind of late this year. It's been a crazy winter, a crazy year. I mean, we've had late spring, we had really hot, now we get some early cold. In order to maintain the access we have, it's really important that people who are out hunting respect the property owners, isn't it?
Yeah, that's huge. Every year I talk to dozens of landowners that are in the walk-in access program, and when someone's upset, that's usually the root of the problem, is that the landowner feels like his property is being disrespected or not treated properly. Those types of things are absolutely critical. Picking up trash that others might have left, it goes a long way towards keeping a landowner happy with the program. Certainly they're getting paid to put their land in, but that doesn't really convey over to the fact that they should have to accept less consideration from hunters.
Well, and part of that too is the harvest is going to be late, which is going to affect the season. There's going to be a lot of standing corn probably, but that means there's also going to be interaction with people trying to harvest.
Exactly, and probably the number one complaint I get in a year like this where the harvest may be a little late is that hunters are parked in the way, or they're hunting in fields that a landowner's trying to harvest, particularly some of the better corners that we have in the program are very popular with hunters, and there's a conflict that arises when hunters are out there when a landowner's trying to combine corn. It's kind of a dangerous scenario. You know, I've had multiple landowners call and say, is there anything we can do? How do we slow this down a little bit? So we adopted a regulation that ultimately closes those corners when the landowner's actively harvesting. So when the combine is driving in the field and picking corn, those corners are closed to hunting. Now that is only going to last as long as he's actively harvesting. So just a little bit of patience on hunter's part and a little bit of thinking before they hunt, it goes a long ways towards keeping landowners happy and keeping their land in the program.
Now, should the hunters be out scouting right now? Your guys are out checking numbers. They're looking around. Earlier in the year, it's kind of hard to tell, but you can do a lot even just by driving the roads in the areas you want to hunt, can't you?
Yes. Yes, you can. And it doesn't even, you don't even have to get out into the field, really. You just have to kind of drive some roads and find concentrations of bird. Particularly early in the morning on a cold evening or a cold night followed by a nice sunny morning, birds are going to be out in the roads picking up gravel or dusting themselves or just catching some sun, and you can really find out what's in the area. That's kind of how my guys are seeing a whole bunch of birds out right now, is getting out fairly early in the morning on a cool, with a cool night, followed by a warm, sunny morning. You'll find lots of birds.
And the last thing on the pheasants, and that's it. Are you willing to share maybe a few of the better areas, let a few of your secrets out of the bag?
Sure. I don't think there's any secret to it in most years in Colorado. If you kind of think about what the historic harvest has been in those particular counties, it's Yuma's always number one. It's a big county, lots of good pheasant habitat, lots of hunters, so it's going to be number one on the list. The top five counties in Colorado are generally composed of Sedgwick, Phillips, Logan, Kit Carson, and Yuma, with Yuma occupying the number one spot. So those five counties are a great place to start. After that, you kind of look at the counties that are touching those counties. Eastern Washington can be good. And then you go on down to the southern part of the state. Baca County can present a real unique opportunity for hunters to hunt pheasants, scaled quail, and bobwhite quail in a fairly small area out east of Springfield towards the Kansas border. Those are kind of the places that I start with every year and look at those. And then, you know, the other isolated areas around are kind of less popular with hunters, certainly portions of Washington County, western Kit Carson County. Places like that can definitely be good hunting. They're not as well known, and they're definitely less hunters and probably not as much access. You may have to knock on a few doors in some of those areas.
We're over time, and Jennifer is waiting patiently to tell us about a great event that's going on in another park area. But right now, Ed, I think that everything I'm hearing from you, everything I'm hearing from the field is if you like the hunt upland game, it's a good year to get ready, get out and start scouting right now. Thank you for joining us so much, Ed.
You're welcome, Terry.
Yep, always great information, Ed Gorman. We're a little bit over, but when we come back, we're going to talk about another animal in Colorado and how you can go viewing and have a family day and a great time right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.